Welcome to the first episode of the official Sydney Swans podcast, Conversations with Cal. Throughout the podcast, I hope to give you a better understanding of the people from around the club, both players and staff. We will explore their football journey and what it is that makes them tick both on and off the field.
This is the Swanscast Extra, the number one Sydney Swans fans weekend preview podcast. With me tonight are Swanscast regulars Stephen Park and Joshua Maher. In this week's episode, we preview the Swans' third-round clash against the Carlton Blues at Marvel on Saturday afternoon. We discuss selections, what we're looking forward to, matchups and key points, and give the weekend forecast ahead. Well, guys, we're back to playing Carlton again, and the last two times haven't exactly been great results. Well, two of the last three times anyway.
That's exactly right, Justin. I'm a bit concerned about this week as well. We're coming in 0-2, and it could possibly end up 0-3. Now, that would not be too good, Josh.
No, it certainly wouldn't. I don't think, the betting markets have us comfortably ahead, but I'm not as confident with things as they are. It's 50-50 for my mind at the moment, whether we win or lose it.
It is 50-50, I agree. You look back, 2017, we came into, I think it was about round six, we came in 0-5 and we played very poorly. Again, we're coming into Carlton, start of the season, except this time it's 0-2. Stephen, do you think we can actually break the duck and make it 1-2?
I actually hope so, Justin, but I'm not so sure. I was actually having a conversation with a few workmates today, and sadly, we all came to the conclusion that Carlton will probably win this week.
Josh, how are you feeling about this game?
I'm not overly confident, that's for sure. I don't think we've shown enough consistency to probably not expect, but at least feel that we have a competitive edge in a game against, you know, another sort of low-order team. I think if you can expect one thing from Carlton at the moment is that they're actually going to give four quarters of effort, and that's what they did last week, and that's what we didn't do.
Well, we can certainly get into that, and I think top of the agenda, the team changes. Now, the teams came out at 6:20. There were three changes that the Swans made. I think Carlton also made about three changes themselves. But two big ones for the Swans. Obviously, Lewis Mallican and Ryan Clark have been omitted. Both played probably two pretty poor matches in a row. And a third one, Colin Arridon, was dropped after just one game. Jordan Dawson comes back in, having missed last week. Tom McCartan comes in for his first game of the season. And Jackson Thurlow finally comes in to play his first game. Don't know why he was in the outer for the first 2 weeks, but he's finally in. Stephen, are you happy with the changes?
I am certainly happy with the changes. I actually think it's great that Jackson Thurlow's come into the side. I like the fact that Tommy McCartan's getting another run. And Jordan Dawson, I'm a bit wary about, but we've got to give him a chance to actually shine. One thing that really surprised me about the Carlton lineup was that they've actually dropped Alex Fasolo.
Yeah.
That was really surprising. And Jeffy Garlett.
It's a bit of an interesting one, Josh. It looks like they've gone for a bit of height instead of going for pace and ground ball getting winners as well.
Yeah, I think so too. And oddly, we sort of shortened our back line at the same time. So there's going to be a few interesting matchups down back for us, and a lot will be dependent on Alir and Ramps to get it done down there, I think.
And it looks like Ramp is going to go to Casbolt. I think that's probably the obvious one. And then you're going to look at Alir, who's most likely going to go to their very tall young player. So they are going to be giving away a fair bit of height in those contests, but it's going to be an interesting one to see. So let's go straight into the preview of the match. The history between the two sides. Look, Swans hold a very dominant 11-3 lead since 2010, and that does include the finals win back in 2013, which was a semi-final win by 9 points or so. The head-to-head at Docklands is 3-1 in that same period, so we've only played four times at that ground. Fortunately, we won the last game by 30 points. Josh, do you remember that game at all?
I do. Looks good on paper, you think 30-point win, you know, must have been a cracker night, but I seem to remember it being a pretty stagnant, ordinary game with a lot of poor disposal and some terrible botched inside 50 entries that probably robbed us of a potentially a much larger score than that. We really should have won that game by 10 goals or so, but it was some really shoddy disposal let us down, and we sort of washed in and out of the game as well. So it wasn't a terribly good performance from my mind.
And Stephen, do you think that was the match that cemented Nick Newman in his new destination? He's got to go to Carlton.
I don't think so. I think he was actually planning to go somewhere, and I thought it was more South Australia. But I reckon Carlton's actually the right fit for him now, and I think he could actually play a big part in their season.
Yeah, he's certainly come along, and he's looked, I guess, 2017-ish kind of form. He's actually looked pretty good this in the first two games of the season. Certainly a lot better than what he looked in patches last year. And that is absolutely fantastic for him and for Carlton as well, because that's what they really needed. They really needed that kind of player. Now, the last time they played, the clearances were level, but the major difference was the inside 50s. Stephen, can you believe that we had 21 more inside 50s and only won by 30 points?
No, I can't believe that, especially with our midfield. I would have expected that we'd actually have produced a winning margin with 21 extra inside 50s. But then in saying that, look at how the seasons have panned out. The teams that are getting lots of inside 50s are not necessarily winning by big margins at the moment.
And Josh, it was a 5-goal run in the third quarter that really cemented the win. John Longmire said after the match that the last 10 minutes of that third quarter were vitally important. And at three-quarter time, the players discussed essentially the effort that was required from then on was that last 10 minutes. Are you looking for that 10-minute sort of spread across four quarters at a more consistent level this week?
As in four quarters of effort? Yes.
As in four quarters of effort.
I just want four quarters of effort. We shouldn't have to have these... It seems to be the last year or so that, especially since a bye last year, that, you know, there's all these conversations came out in the media that, you know, Horse came and said to us, we need to apply that across four quarters instead of just one quarter. And I'm still sitting here going, well, when are we going to play a four-quarter game?
We've kind of had patches in different quarters in both the first games. If we can get two really good quarters and two average quarters and still win the game, I think I'd be happy because that shows a bit of progression.
Yeah, I think so. But the other thing too is that if you do, you can't have quarters where you're not scoring goals either. So
yeah.
If our two shoddy quarters are going to have two goals or three goals, well, that's cool. But we can't have two quarters where we don't score at all.
Yeah, exactly. And look, our last two first quarters have been quite poor. We've kicked the first goal within the first sort of 5 to 8 minutes in both the first two games. And then we've gone goalless for quite a while after that, for about a full quarter after that.
Haven't we kicked the first goal in both games?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, and then we just seem to drop off. It's very interesting.
We've actually kicked 1-2 in both the first quarters.
Yeah, very interesting, isn't it?
It is. So we've actually gone three goalless quarters in our last three games. So there was the GWS Giants final last year when we only kicked two goals in the first half. Then there was the first round when we went one quarter without a goal. And then obviously against Adelaide when we kicked 4 points in the third quarter. So it's not great. And Josh, are you expecting the same sort of thing to happen on Saturday? Are you sort of anticipating another goalless quarter?
I sort of am, but that drastic, that needs to change. It needs to change quickly. It's maybe something we might be able to get away with against a team like Carlton if they have an average game, but it's certainly not something we can carry on into the weeks afterwards. So there has to be a focus on changing that.
And what do you think will change or must change in this game for us to at least give a more consistent effort across all four quarters and certainly go all four quarters kicking goals?
Well, two things have to change. One's just consistency of effort. So we saw last week that we were pretty poor in the first, pretty good in the second, and then pretty wishy-washy for the last half of the game. I just want to see, especially from the middle, I think the midfield always sets the tone for our team. They just have to be hard at the contest, and they don't do that at the moment. The second thing I would say that if we want to get away from having these goalless quarters is that, and it's going to go back to the same thing I banged on about all last year, is the way the ball goes in our forward 50 is horrible. So it doesn't matter that we had, you know, more inside 50s than Adelaide did last week. They were non-usable.
Yeah.
So we had more inside 50s, had less scoring shots, and then lost the game by four goals.
And Stephen, what are you sort of looking forward to on Saturday? Are you the same boat, or are you looking forward to something a bit different?
Well, I'm in a bit of a situation where I think Melbourne and Sydney are in the same place at the moment. All they do is they kick the ball long and hard into their forward line. They do not pick out a target and they hope someone marks it. Then they expect the on-ballers to run in, crumb, or the smaller players around the forwards to actually crumb. We don't have the right marking power down there to do it. And my concern is if we don't start to change this type of style of play, we're actually going to struggle for this year, especially with the 6-6-6.
And are you expecting Tom McCartan and Jordan Dawson to have more of an impact in the forward line, along with obviously you've got Sam Reed, Lance Franklin, Will Hayward, Nick Blakey, who will now play his third game. You've also got Ben Ronk and Tom Papley at the bottom as well, playing through the forward line. Isaac Heaney and Luke Parker rotating through the forward line. Do you think those sort of issues are still going to continue?
I do, sadly, Justin. I think we're in a bit of a situation where I don't think it's going to improve very quickly.
We've already sort of talked about some of the stats that we had 21 more inside 50s. We had 5 more contested possessions, 13 more hitouts, and Callum Sinclair played a pretty good game, and 43 more disposals. Now, on Callum Sinclair, Josh, he actually picked up the 3 Brownlow votes for that game, and it was certainly one of his best career games that you can put out there with his Essendon 2017 elimination final performance and St Kilda earlier that year. Are you looking for more of the same? Are you expecting he can sort of relive that experience and bring the same fire and dominance back?
Oh, mate, I love the Chief. I hope he does it every week, no matter who he's playing or what his opposition is. But we're pretty lucky in Cal that, I mean, he's probably not particularly talented compared to a lot of ruckmen. And what he doesn't give us in hitouts, he gives us around the ground as much and often more so than the opposition's ruckman anyway. So, look, he's not playing as well as he was last year, but it is early days. I do want to see more of the Big Chief.
Speaking of the Chief, obviously we're going to give a shout out to the Sydney Swans here. Sydney Swans have launched a new podcast called Conversations with Cal. The first episode came out today. So it's hosted by Sydney Swans player Callum Sinclair. His first guest is Dane Rampey. And it's most likely going to be a Bob Murphy type of sit down with people, talk about their lives, their journey through football, and probably not the really sort of scandalous and in-depth football in Sydney Swans chat that we'd love to hear. But on Cal, on the Chief, Stephen, what are you expecting he'll bring on the weekend?
Well, I'm hoping he has a terrific game, Justin. I am expecting him to dominate the hitouts. I would love to see him dominate around the ground, and I'd love to see him kick a couple of goals when he goes forward. I think going up against their ruckman, Andrew Phillips, I think he'll absolutely cream him. But Phillips is a very good tap ruckman. He's actually ranked number 3 in the league at the moment.
Let's get straight into our matchups. We've got one matchup each. I'm going to kick things off. I'm going for Liam Jones versus Lance Franklin. Now, this is also going to flow into one of my predictions later on, but this is going to be a key matchup because if Liam Jones can actually stop Franklin, I think that's going to go a long way towards Carlton winning. But obviously, Franklin, he's going to have to kick a lot of goals. And I think at the moment, with the way our forward line is structured and our midfield is performing, Franklin's going to have to probably kick about 40 or 50% of our goals for us to win the game.
That's an indictment on its own if Franklin's kicking 40 to 50% of our goals.
It is, isn't it?
But that's a problem in and of itself, isn't it? Like, yeah, I actually hope that's not the case. I hope he kicks 25% and we, you know, kick 110 points. That'd be good. Yeah. So my matchup was Rampy on McGovern. I don't think he'll stay on McGovern. I think he'll start on McGovern. I think Ramps is a medium size, plays tall. He's got good closing speed and a pretty good fist. He reads the play well. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ramps gets moved on to Casbolt during the game at some stage. But as a start, I'm going to put Rampy on McGovern. And McGovern's good enough, too, that you can't leave him alone.
Yeah.
I think probably was a bit underappreciated while he was in Adelaide because of the cast that he had around him, or he was the supporting cast, I guess, for people who are around him. But he's going to be far more of a focal point of Carlton's attack, and I think we need to keep him quiet as much as Casbolt, and more so because McGovern can actually kick a ball.
Yeah. Well, there was that game that we played against Adelaide at Adelaide Oval going back 2017, roughly around 2021 or thereabouts, where we kicked the first sort of 5-6 goals, or 5 of the first 6 goals in the first quarter. But McGovern played a pretty important role in getting him back into the match. I think he kicked 4 that night. And he played on Malakin, and he did a good job on Malakin. Absolutely dominated him in the second half. So McGovern is a pretty good player. And I think, yeah, definitely Carlton win out of that one. Stephen, your thoughts on McGovern?
My thoughts on McGovern is I think he's actually going to have a terrific year, and I reckon he'll actually become one of the best young forwards in the league if he's given the opportunities. And with Patrick Cripps and the like, Will Setterfield and Paddy Dow actually kicking the ball to him well, I think he can actually take a terrific mark. I actually think he's a better mark than Tex Walker.
Yeah, he's certainly got his brother's genes going through him because both of them can mark a ball and they can certainly kick a ball as well.
That's probably why Tex hated him so much.
Yes, there was that. So, Stephen, your matchup, please.
So I've got an interesting matchup, and basically we stop this player, we stop Carlton, and it's Patrick Cripps. We need to put either George Hewitt or Isaac Heaney onto him, and we need to rotate them because Patrick Cripps is a running machine. And I believe it's not going to be one person that will actually take him out of the game. it'll be a multiple of people. And I think Heaney and Hewitt are the two people that'll need to do the work.
That's an interesting point, because Josh and I actually talked about this before we started the cast. Josh was of the opinion, weren't you, of Luke Parker? And I was more of the opinion of a Josh Kennedy. Now, Stephen, do you think either of those two would play on Cripps, or do you still think it's going to be more of a Heaney slash Hewitt job?
I think it needs to be Heaney slash Hewitt, because I think they're the only two that are quick enough to keep up with Cripps. I don't think Parker or Kennedy are quick enough to keep up with him.
Do you think Hewitt's going to give us enough this week to do that job? Because he's been a bit flat this year so far.
He has been very, very flat, and I'm actually surprised that he's not on the verge of not being dropped. But it's his role, and I don't think he's been playing. He's been playing off the wing the last couple of weeks, and I don't think it's done him very well.
Yeah, he is actually in the back line at points last week as well. So it's just been a bit, I guess, a bit weird what his role has been this season. We don't really know. Obviously, we've talked about it quite a lot on the cast before and after the shows. It's been featured heavily in the ratings that we just don't know what role he's actually been playing so far. Stephen, are you expecting him to play more 80% midfield this week than what he's been playing recently?
I'd like to think so, because when he's playing in our midfield and he's playing well, I think he's actually close to our best midfielder, especially our in and under midfielder who actually takes that tagging role to the next level. He was easily the best tagger last year.
Yeah, and he played a pretty important role for us. Now, Joshua, straight into our key points. Kick us off with your first key point, mate.
So my first key point is don't believe everything you read on social media.
Yes.
Which is actually quite hilarious when you consider how much I use social media. but just to set the scene, there was a meme came out today that involved Dan Hannebery, and it had a picture of Dan Hannebery and his, you know, his new colours and his Saints gear with a quote underneath it. And it says, just look at the ladder. We're 2-0 and they're 0-2. That speaks for itself in terms of which is the better club. Dan Hannebery on his decision to move from Sydney to St Kilda. Now, a lot of people read that. A lot of people read this and they got really upset about why would Dan Hannebery say these nasty things about his former club. Well, when you actually find where that meme came from, it came from a Facebook page named Totally Real and Legitimate AFL Quotes. Guys, it's a meme. It's just a meme. It's funny. Someone made it up. Don't believe everything you read on social media, guys.
No, that's a trolling page. It is a cracker. It's kind of like AFL Nuffies on Facebook. It's just absolutely silly content.
Yeah, it's and terrific, I tell you mate. What, it's quality. It's quality content. I've actually followed it. I think there's going to be some funny stuff come out of that page.
But you're right. Don't believe everything you see on Facebook. Stephen, your key point.
Mine goes back to the Swans. While Josh's was very funny, and yes, a great thing, and I've seen it and I posted it, having a big laugh about it. But the Swans, Sinclair will dominate in the ruck and will still lose the clearances.
Yeah, that's probably a good one. I'd like to see us win it.
I can see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. If we can get Parker and Heaney in the midfield, I think we're a good chance to sort of smash them in the clearances, but we really need those players to really, you know, lift and fire. Kennedy was enormous last week. That was one of the best games I've seen him play.
I agree with you there, Justin. I think Kennedy's game was outstanding last week.
And Josh, where do you see our improvement in the clearances coming from?
Oh, I actually don't for the moment. What I would like to see us do is not cough it up when we do get them, that's for sure.
Well, if you look at the team sheet, Zach Jones has been put on the back line.
I like Zach. I like the fact we've got someone who's relatively fast in a team that's relatively slow. And
he takes the game on.
Takes the game on, but sometimes he takes the game on when he shouldn't. And I cringe every time he goes to kick a ball.
I don't know if you're going to get this reference, Josh, but Stephen, watching Zach Jones, does it remind you a little bit of Leo Barry?
Definitely does. The only issue is that Zach Jones cannot hit a target.
No.
That's the big issue with Zach Jones.
Yeah, he seems to run too fast, and then he has this idea of what he wants to do, and then kind of changes his mind at last minute.
He can't mark like Leo Barry either.
No. Not many players can, unfortunately. We've had a few of those in the past, but not anymore. So, my key point is we have to get physical before the first bounce, because you can guarantee the Carlton are going to get in their faces. They're going to come up, they're going to front up, and they're just going to get under the skin as soon as they can. Now, 2017, the revival was basically after that Carlton game, which was a disgraceful performance on all levels. The Lions tried to go the biff, they tried to rough us up, and after that, the Swans just went hard at every single team. I reckon half the games we played after round seven, the Swans were scuffling before the first bounce, and that is what I think we need to see on Saturday. We really need to see that hard physical edge come back, because we've been really pretty weak in the first 2 weeks.
Sounds like a job for Jonesy, quite frankly.
I'd say we've been extremely weak, Justin. Extremely weak. We are a shell of our former selves at the moment, and I don't believe we've got a hard edge about us at all.
We were never really that hard anyway. Like, one of the complaints I'd always heard from, you know, guys who've been watching the Swannies for the last 20, 30, sort of 40 years, is that we're always too nice. You know, we're always too nice. We've never had a whole lot of mongrel about the team, and I just like us to get more mongrel, you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't settle for the win of 30 or 40 points. Like, step on their necks and kill them by 60 or 80 or 100. We don't have enough mongrel.
We want to play like Hawthorn, yeah. Not obviously the same game style, but you want to see that ruthlessness to kill a streak, you know, the ability to get in and just shoot them hard and really finish them off before it starts.
Oh, yeah, and Hawthorn were ruthless and brutal, and that's why I hated them so much. But deep down inside, I wish we did the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And look, we did for a couple of years ago, we did for most of the season, and we went 14-2 up until our last match. Which was one of the best. 42
and 150%.
Yeah, which was one of the best runs of the decade. So we've got it in us. I don't know if it's a bit of a youth and experience thing at the moment. Josh, what do you think? Do you think it's we just got too many young players and they just don't really know what to do yet?
Nah, not really, because it's probably, we always had that policy of, you know, we don't recruit sort of dickheads. And I guess the extension of that is that you tend to recruit really nice blokes as well. So I think it's a learned thing. I think if the older guys had it about, that the younger guys would pick it up as well. And that's sort of not just a footy thing. That's in every workplace on the planet and every profession and every walk of life. So I think it's a learned behaviour, and we just don't have it. We just don't have it that way. I think 2017 was different in that we probably planned it. This is what we're going to do today. And I haven't seen that last year, or I haven't seen it this year either.
Well, Zach Jones was the last guy from our team that got suspended for striking. And even then, what he did was certainly on the low end of the scale. What do you make of it? Do you think we're kind of lacking in that physical edge, that sort of aggression that teams really need that to win matches and really force themselves on and impose themselves in a contest?
I actually think that attitude comes from the leadership. And I don't think the leadership has the attitude, the right killer attitude that you need to be successful in today's football.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we had Kieran Jack and Jared McVay for a period of time, Adam Goods as well. But I think you're right in what you were saying before, Joshua, in that we've been more the gentleman Swans. We've never been the dirty Swans or anything like that. And for the Swans to play dirty is like a pretty big thing for the supporter base, because they're not used to it, and they don't particularly like it. But they like the results. Wins are what matters most.
Oh, I don't know. I think the supporter base got a look of it in 2017, and I think we liked it, and I think we'd like to see some more of it.
But I disagree with that, Justin and Josh. I don't think you need to be dirty to have a killer instinct and a killer attitude. You've just got to want it more than anybody else, and I just don't think we do.
No, I'm not talking about being dirty. There's a difference between being dirty and just being hard. So, and when I mean hard, I don't mean like hard at the ball, because we used to do that. We don't do it at the moment, but we used to have that. I don't know how to describe it other than just being ruthless, you know? Ruthless at everything. That doesn't
mean
you're
going to
clock some bloke. We had a hard edge. And I think if you actually have a look at the way we went about it in 2017, it's completely different from anything we did before or since.
I think we need to do that. I would really like to see us go to that.
And more to the point, if you look at the Unsociable Hawks, they made an absolute bloody mess of us in the 2014 grand final by doing exactly that. It's just that niggle off the ball. It drove us crazy.
Yeah, Lake flattened Franklin, and then Hanbury got creamed about 2 minutes later, and that was pretty much the end of the fight.
Yep, it certainly didn't do us any favour psychologically, and it showed for the rest of the game.
What about the Mills incident?
The way Carlton roughed up Mills?
Yeah.
Well, it demolished us that day, didn't it? Oh, it was terrible. What was worse is that we didn't stand up for him.
No. And he actually had to go into the quarter time and half time breaks, and he was the one telling other players off. The young guy in his, what, second year, and he was the one leading the team.
Yep. Yep. Watching second year Callum Mills in the middle of the MCG, laying it down to the leadership group.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what I was touching on before. Well, certainly what we're talking about as well is that maybe we just lacked a bit of that, I don't know, about guidance, almost that instinct and that willingness from the leadership itself. But I thought Callum Mills really proved himself well that day. And it was a lesson the Swans shouldn't have had to learn, but they learned it and they applied it for the rest of the season. I really want to see us coming out with a hard edge and really just, you know, smash in. Now, Stephen, time for predictions. Could you please give us your first prediction for the weekend ahead?
My prediction's a good one, and it's more about I hope this happens and I really want it to happen, and that's Jackson Thurlow will be our best player for the weekend.
I like it.
He deserved his opportunity, and I think he should have been there from the very beginning of the year.
It's a great point there about Jackson Thurlow, and we've talked about Jackson Thurlow in the last couple of casts, and we've sort of been, I guess, unsure as to why he's been outside of the team. He's showed a lot of quality in the JLT. He was a decent player when Geelong pretty much tossed him aside. So for him to be out of the side was a bit baffling, certainly surprising, and he's definitely deserved his chance. He should have been in from round one. I mean, that's a given. He should have been in for the first game.
I agree, Justin. I think he should have been there. The only concerns I had was around his ability to manoeuvre sideways, but from what I've seen, he looks fine. That was Geelong's biggest issue with him, is that after his injuries, they were concerned about his movement, but nothing.
Now, he looked great in the preseason competition.
That's for sure. I thought he was one of our best.
Maybe there was just a medical or fitness goal that he had to achieve with the Swans before they trust him. I'm not sure. I mean, it's not the first time. They famously had the Tom Mitchell situation where they wouldn't play him until Tom Mitchell did some work defensively. It's a weird situation.
Yeah, you just don't know. You just don't know, do you?
No. Now, Joshua, could you please give me your prediction for the weekend ahead?
Yep. And if we lose this game, and we're by no means guaranteed winners at the moment, we will lose the next three afterwards and we'll go 0-6 again.
Ooh, I don't like that one. No, that is not a prediction I like. Now, if we have a look at our fixture ahead, and we've kind of had a quick look at the fixture ahead before, what do you think of the winnable games in the next three?
So Carlton this week. Next week, we've got Melbourne. Melbourne will be coming off the game against Essendon this week. So one of those 0-2 teams has to win and has to lose that. And at the moment, I would be going more with Melbourne because I think Melbourne's issue is largely between the ears of the players, and I think Essendon is between their ears and up in the coaching box as well. So I'm expecting Melbourne to win that. They will be a tough nut to crack, even though they are on the road. The easiest game in there is probably Richmond, and that's because they've got no Rance and they've got no Riewoldt. They've still got speed all over the field. They're better ball users than us. And even though they're not playing particularly well at the moment, if we can't beat Carlton, or even if we beat them in an unconvincing fashion, Richmond will still be a harder nut to crack. And GWS Spotless Stadium will be harder again. So none of those are assured victories. And I just think that if we have difficulty putting Carlton away, we're going to have far more difficulties doing those three teams as well. So I honestly believe we're staring down the barrel of another 0-6 start again.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And to be honest, depending on Brisbane's start to the season, it doesn't get even any easier in round 7 when we play them at the Gabba.
No,
so it's not a great start to the season, unfortunately, for us. It's pretty hard. And we still play Essendon at home at round 8. So you never know. So my prediction is that Brisbane will win their third straight match. And if they do win their third straight match, then I think they're going to be playing finals this year. And they'll actually be pretty close to the top of the ladder as well. They've played some great football so far. They beat West Coast. Then they held on and beat North Melbourne. And they just had an absolute belter of a last quarter. They certainly do have a great chance this week when they play Port Adelaide at home. So if they can make it 3-3, Brisbane are playing finals. And I think that's great for everyone. Football, great for Brisbane, just great for the sport in general.
I really like Brisbane and I really like Chris Fagan, and I hope they do really well this year. They've got a young side, but a very, very good young side.
And now, Josh and I, we talked about Lachie Neale on the last podcast about how good of a pick he was. He's turning out to be highway robbery, just how good he's been for the Lions so far, Josh.
Yep, can't say enough about him. I liked him when he was at Freo. I like him even more at Brisbane.
Now, straight into our weekend forecast. Sure thing, most at stake, and doomsday scenario. We each have one each. So, let's get straight into it. Stephen, can you give me your sure thing?
Shane Mumford will come into the GWS side, have an absolute shocker. And they've dropped Dawson Simpson, so they'll get killed in the ruck.
Ah, yes. Joshua, your sure thing.
Yeah, there were some stats came out either today or yesterday regarding Patrick Dangerfield and his last six games against the Crows. And I can't remember all of them, but there were something like 57 or 53 tackles in six games, which I thought was pretty impressive. So my sure thing is that Dangerfield is going to get off the chain against the Crows, and Geelong's going to win that game comfortably, even though that game's in Adelaide.
Yeah, they do have a good record there. My sure thing for the weekend is Lance Franklin is going to destroy Liam Jones. If he gets paired up on him, he's going to do 2017 Sons Carlton at the SCG. He's just going to give him that kind of treatment. 10 goals. Most at stake, Stephen.
Brendan Bolton will outcoach John Longmire and the Swans will lose John Longmire's career on a knife edge.
I don't know about on a knife edge.
Yeah, he's got a few tickets in his bag. Yeah, that's right. I agree.
Yeah, no, he's out coaching. There's a 50-50% chance to get out coached because Brendan Bolton has done it before. Joshua, you're most at stake.
It actually goes back to the Demons Essendon game that's coming up this week, and that is whoever loses that game will not make the finals.
Now, Demons were expected to make top four, and Essendon were expected to challenge for top four. That was the big preseason rage.
Yep. I'm tipping the D's are going to win that game. I don't think the coach's box at Essendon is as agile as they thought they were last year, and they can't just sack Mark Neild again and fix things up. So, Essendon to lose that. But whoever loses that game is not going to make finals.
No. So my most at stake is the undersized defence for the Swans, and Casbolt kicks six. So doomsday scenario. Stephen, please give us yours.
Well, this is not a doomsday. Some people will love this. Some people will hate it. But Dom Sheeb will kick the winning goal in the Pies match again, and Bucks cries in his press conference.
Yeah,
live
that's great.
TV.
Love it. Joshua, can you give me your doomsday scenario?
Well, this isn't so much a doomsday scenario as would be a national scandal and a disgrace of untold proportions, and that is that at the Saturday night blockbuster this week between the Pies and the Eagles, that the stadium runs out of beer.
Yeah, that would be a travesty. And we're going to be at that game too.
That's why it's going to be a travesty. And if the MCG runs out of beer, I mean, that's Royal Commission level of bad. Yep.
What about yours, Justin? What's your doomsday?
My doomsday, and I know you are a member of both clubs, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because you're a Tasmanian and it's a Tasmanian thing. But my doomsday is that Hawthorn absolutely pumps North Melbourne and Brad Scott's in a firing line.
And Stephen Park is put in as coach of North Melbourne.
Never, ever happen. You Tasmanians
sounds
stick
good
together.
To me.
No, it's never going to happen. All right, guys, quick predictions for the game ahead. Swans win or lose, how much?
Well, I don't know. I'm saying Swans just, and I'm going to say 7 points.
Josh?
We need it. We need it bad. I'm going to say Swans by 40.
Swans by 65 for mine. It's never going to happen.
Gee, here I was thinking I was being the optimist. No.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming on. Josh, Steve, it's been a pleasure.
Always.
Thanks, brother.
Go Swannies.